Let's follow some of these children that you select. I shouldn't call them children. They're grown adults now at 18, aren't they? Or how old are they, anyway?
Let's see. Right now, they would range from 17 to 21.
Okay.
One of them just turned 20.
Young adults.
Young adults.
Okay. Let's go through, and you pick what, nine of them? Nine students?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pick them out one at a time briefly, and just tell us why you pick them and what you learn from them.
Okay. Well, let's see. There is Julie. She's a track and academic star who is petrified that she's making the wrong choices in life. Let's see. What did I learn from her? I saw a lot of myself in many of these characters. And in Julie, I saw the self-doubt I had as a teenager because she's viewed at her high school as a superstar, but she's plagued by self-doubt. There is a guy named A.P. Frank. He's nicknamed A.P. Frank, not by me, but by students at his school, because it's probably normal for a high-achieving student to take maybe 7 advanced placement courses and exams. A.P. Frank took 17, not by his choice. This was his mother's choice. And he got a perfect score on 16 of those 17 AP exams.
Oh, that's great.
He's the one who's grappling with horrifying parental pressure to succeed. He was the one who was hit when he didn't place in the top 15 of a math competition. And he struggles in this book in his freshman year of college trying to figure out what he wants and what his mother wanted and how to separate those two. There's Taylor. She's the popular girl at school, and she is a soccer and lacrosse captain whose ambition pretty much threatens her popular girl status, and she's not sure whether to hide her intelligence and her ambition from the popular student she hangs out with.
Is she like the cheerleader type, the one who gets voted the prom queen?
She's the type who would get voted prom queen. She was generally viewed as sort of the hot babe in school.
Okay.
Which was interesting because secretly she was doing very well on her SATs, for example, and she took the highest level math courses. So she wrestled with that dichotomy. There's Sam, who worries that his years of high achievement are going to be wasted if he doesn't end up getting into a name brand college, which I think reflects the feelings of many top-tier students across the country. There's Audrey, who struggles mightily with perfectionism, feeling that she always has to be the best in everything she does. There's the stealth overachiever, who I alluded to before. I put that character in because basically the plot twist shocker, which I think is a lot of fun to read. There is, let's see, CJ. She's viewed in school as the flirt, and I'll read you a quote from her that she told me that I think is important, because a lot of people don't think that high school has changed that much since they've been there, and they don't understand what these kids are going through. But here's what CJ says about it. She says, "You can't just be the smartest. You have to be the most athletic. You have to be able to have the most fun. You have to be the prettiest, the best dressed, the nicest, the most wanted. You have to constantly be out on the town partying, and then you have to get straight A's. And most of all, you have to appear to be happy." And a lot of students across the country echoed that sentiment. And then there's Pete. Pete is viewed at school as the meathead, and some conversations he had with some friends, I guess, supported that notion. For example, there was one conversation between him and another football player type. They were talking about goats, and I happened to be in the room, and one football player said, "Oh, I like goats. Goats have fur." And someone else says, "No, goats don't have fur." And the football player says, "Yes, they do have fur. How do you think they make cotton?" And then Pete laughs at him, and he says, "No, that's sheep, idiot." Which was kind of funny. It took them probably a good hour to realize that cotton comes from a plant.
So that's 8 I got.
I think that's
one?
8.
Yep. Let's see. Julie, AP, Taylor, Sam, Audrey, Stealth, CJ, Peter. Give me one more.
Oh, yes, there is one more. There is Ryland. He's viewed as the slacker at school. And
That'll be the successful one.
Well, as you'll see, and as I think a lot of people can relate to, the way you're viewed in high school and the label that's placed on you often is there for no reason and has no bearing on who you actually are. And so for a lot of these kids, they end up proving to readers that they're not what people think they are.
Okay, of all these kids, these nine kids, some of them slackers, they're pushing and stuff. In your opinion, who's pushing them? Were they born that way? Do they have this drive within themselves? Is it all parental? Is it the school system? What's driving these nine?
It's definitely not all parental. In Frank's case, yes, it was parental. But most of these kids have very well-adjusted parents who were not pushing them. The problem is it's a numbers game, really. In the last 5 years, the number of students enrolling in college rose by 1.2 million. There are more high school students than there have ever been in history, and a higher percentage of those students are applying to college than in the past. So this naturally increases their sense of competition among these kids because the number of spots at selective universities mostly haven't increased. There's something else at play, too, though. Society today seems to encourage this Machiavellian win-at-all-costs race for success and prestige, and the idea that in order to win, you need to go to an elite college, which to some people means an elite high school and grade school and private preschool even, as crucial gateways. I think that's what's driving this.
In St. Louis, they will ask you, what high school did you go to? Not what college, what high school? And people will relate to each other. Those people who were born in St. Louis, which is a wonderful area, will, they could be 40, they could be 50 years old, Alexandra, and the question they'll ask each other if they just meet someone is, what high school did you go to? That's how closely knit that is in that town.
As if it matters, yeah.
Exactly. You know, and some of them have been to private schools, and there are a lot of private schools in St. Louis where a lot of people with a lot of wealth send their kids there. And, you know, I don't, you know what? Do they really get a better education than a kid who goes to a public school?
Again, I think it depends on where you go. I think generally, it doesn't matter where you go to school as long as you get a decent education. And really, I focus more on the problem with the myth of the name brand college than high schools, because people assume that you need to go to a very sort of well-known college in order to succeed in life, and that's a myth. There have been studies that have shown that you don't make more money if you graduate from, for instance, an Ivy League school than a state school. If you look at the top 500, the top S&P 500 CEOs, the number of them who graduated from Harvard matches the number who graduated from the University of Wisconsin, and yet there's still this feeling that you have to go to a nice-sounding school in order to succeed in life. But if you look at studies done with students on campus now, the students at those highly ranked schools often have the least student satisfaction ratings.